A Way of Protection is the title of tonight's meditation, taken from Psalm 141 in this series of messages, Balm for the Weary. Today we come to our last message for this series and also for the year. We have four thoughts for our consideration. Be kept from doing evil, verse 1 to 4. For godly counsel, verse 5 to 6. From losing hope, verse 7 to 8. From the enemy's threat, verse 9 to 10. The Christian life is fraught with danger. Have you heard someone say to you that since I become a Christian, there seem to have been more challenges than ever before? More to suffer, more temptations, more trials. Wow, when is it ever going to end? Well, the Bible tells us and our Lord warns us that the way of the cross is straight and narrow, but it leads to life. In this psalm, you see the psalmist David crying out to God for his protection to keep him from falling. Do you pray daily that to ask the Lord to protect you, deliver you from the evil one, to lead you not into temptation? Is that a prayer that you would utter during the day so that God would cause His Spirit to be with you, that you be vigilant, and that the Lord would grant His Spirit to guide you so that you may be able to ward off every devouring attempt of the devil before you? Well, when we are in the Spirit and we are walking close to the Lord, we are able to see the roaring lion before us, and also find the way of escape that God would inadvertently provide for us. And so the psalmist is saying to us here that there is protection with God. He is able to keep us from falling. Can the Lord help us when we seek Him in prayer, when we are in danger? Can God not protect us? Well, that is a very crucial question, isn't it? Because it is about our well-being. Right? We all want to be well. We would like to be protected. And we have committed our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we be protected? Is He able to help us? Well, the answer is in the affirmative. Definitely, yes, the Lord will, for He cares, and He has the ability, He has the strength, He has the wisdom to help us. And so the writer Jude acknowledged the efficacy of prayer to keep us attuned to walk in the pathways of God's blessing when he wrote these words of encouragement to his epistle, to the close of his epistle. He says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." Now unto him, we look to him, the one who is able to protect us, to keep us from falling, keep us from stumbling. There may be minefield, we may be walking in a minefield, and there may be booby traps where we are walking. And here the Lord says that he is able to help us to spot every trap, every landmine along the way, and to present you faultless. Faultless means that you will be protected and you would end your journey without loss. to present you faultless, that God is able to provide you and to reward you for your faithful service before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You'll be so happy when you have walked your last journey with your Lord, because you know that absent in the body is present with the Lord. And when we meet our Lord, we can expect him to say, "Thou good and faithful servant." Do we all not seek for the Lord's accolade? And here is a promise that indeed God will help us, would fulfill his promise, his goodwill, his good desire for our profit, for our benefit. And so the Lord gives us the secret that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would succeed with exceeding joy, because he is the only wise God, our Savior, and all glory and majesty and dominion and power be ascribed to his name. Why? Because he bestows all this to us. We are going to reign with him, and we are going to be received in glory. What great honor. We are going to see him face to face, and he's going to give to us a resurrection body, the kind of resurrection body that our Lord himself possesses, that has the ability to live in the celestials. Wow, what privilege that God gives to us. And so the Lord tells us that indeed we are very privileged, kept, protected people. And so the psalmist says in verse 1 to 4, and it's a prayer, that he would be kept from doing evil. That he would be kept from doing evil. Verse 1 to 4. Lord, verse 1, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice, when I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. You know, in the tabernacle, in the temple, the incense is a perpetual sweet savour that the priest is to ensure will go continually up to heaven. And this is the prayer of the saints, the lifting up of our hands as we look to him in prayer as the evening sacrifice. So he says that at the close of the day, when we have completed the day, where we seek that we may be approved of the Lord in all the deeds of the day, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. So the psalmist prayed as a man with dire need. He was pleading with all his heart. He's asking that the Lord would make haste to instruct him the way of righteousness. Do you pray that God would show you the good way, the straight and narrow way, the way that leads to life, so that you may know how to walk? Well, this was the psalmist's prayer, that the Lord may make haste to instruct him the way of righteousness, the temptation to return evil with evil is the state of the natural man. But the regenerated has a sanctified motive for good. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, the royal law. And the Lord teaches us to do to good, to return good with evil is not the Christian way, but to return evil with good. It's the way of the Lord. And so he pleaded for wisdom to set his heart, his mind, his actions aright, that they may not do evil. Yes, we can be tempted, but we also would be aware of the motions of sin, and we are very careful to ask that the Lord be very gracious to strengthen us with his grace and to grant us that ability of self-mortification, self-control, that we may be able to do that which is well and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And so this prayer is that God may keep him from doing evil. So important, isn't it? Because we don't want to take a wrong step. And you would find that there are many examples, there are many opportunities whereby we would be tempted, you would be, in a sense, pressured, or oftentimes pressed to an action that later we would regret. And so the Lord says to us that, yes, it is so important that we pray and seek for deliverance from the Lord. Grant us the wisdom before we act, how we ought to think. And how can we do so? Except we would hide God's word in our hearts. Right? The psalmist says, "Thy word have I kept in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So if we have God and his word in our hearts for rainy days or days of temptation, times of distress, right, we are able to call it out and we are able to use it, right, to ward off every temptation. Now, you notice that when our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, each time what did he do to ward off the temptations of the devil? Well, he uses the word of God. Well, the word of God is given, appropriately chosen. And so that every action, every temptation that comes to him, every of the devil was taken down so that there would not be any opportunity, right, for any wrongdoing. And so this was his prayer, that he be kept from evil. And secondly, from verses 5 to 6, that he would be given godly counsel. He sought that God would bring godly counselors to him. "Let the righteous smite me," he says. "It shall be kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet." So he sought that God would bring godly counselors to him. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Proverbs 6 verse 23. And Proverbs 9:8-9 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." God wants us to have a spiritual disposition, right, towards living a sanctified life, becoming more and more like Christ. Right? When we are rebuked, when we are reproved, we are able to take reproof, because this is, we understand, the way of life. And here it is also described how a scorner, right, someone who despises instruction, right, they would hate the reprover. And in that situation, you find that the person would not learn. But if a person would be wise, Solomon says, he would be willing to receive rebuke. And a wise man is one who loves a good rebuke. Why? Because he knows that it is for his good. He knows that he is for the furtherance of his spiritual life. And so, give instruction, Solomon says, to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. He is wise. He understood that it is for the good of his own soul. He will not get angry because he's reproved, because he knew and he understand that this reproof will stand him in greater stead for life. And here is given us a spiritual disposition. He says, let the righteous smite me. I'm willing to be smite by the righteous man. It shall be kindness. You see the kind of attitude, a spiritual understanding. Pray that the Lord would help us to have such spiritual mindset. If we have not, then when we are reproved, when godly counsel comes to us, we get offended. Why should we get offended by a godly counsel? Should it not cause us to turn from our waywardness and turn to God again? Is it not good that we are able to see the folly of our own ways and then we grow? Of course. And so the godly man, the man of God, you see, has such spiritual disposition that Solomon paints for us. He is willing to receive and seeks godly counsel. Spurgeon, he wrote, and he says, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil. It shall not break my head. In other words, the rebuke does not cause harm to a person, but rather it is like oil that refreshes and perfumes. And so here you find that there is a renewal, there is a sweetening of the heart. My friend must love me well if he will tell me of my faults. Spurgeon says, there is an unction about him if he's honest enough to point out my errors. Many a man has had his head broken at the feast of the wicked, but none at the table of a true-hearted reprover. The oil of flattery is not excellent. We don't want someone to flatter us. We want someone to truly love us and for our good, help us. And this is here the disposition of the psalmist. He sought godly counsel, and he knows that it will be for his spiritual advancement, his spiritual strengthening, his spiritual growth. And at the end, we would receive true comfort. Not only Well, did he pray that he would be kept from evil, from doing evil? But he prayed that he would receive godly counsel and that he would not lose hope. Verse 7 and 8. Unless God would intervene, he felt that he would be in grave danger of losing his very life. This was the dire situation of his predicament. Verse 7 says, our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But my eyes are unto thee, O Lord, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. He says that, you know, the bones and the fallen tree is as good as the end. Right? That's the end of things. Right? Broken bones, bones that are scattered in the grave, right? No more life. That's the end of the journey. Right? A tree that is cut down, right? That's the life of it. And here, the psalmist is saying to the Lord that, God, unless you would help me, he would be in grave danger. And the despondency is so real, so very real, that he pleaded for faith to believe that God has the ability to protect and help him out of his danger. God wants us to make sure that we would keep faith and that we would not lose heart in times of testing. Right? When the trial is so great, how do we respond? Next year, we are going to begin the study of the book of Job. And we're going to study and see how this man go through suffering. What must be our response during the time of distress, during the time of suffering, during the time of trial? How can we not lose hope? How can we find strength amidst trial? And you would see, the Lord would show us that if we have life with God, there is hope that is imparted to us in a very real way. Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day. Wow! He could understand, he could see with spiritual eyes the final triumph of faith. And God wants us to have that spiritual understanding so that we would be able to take God and his word and have the spiritual strength to see ahead the victory that God Christ has already won for us, so that we would keep faith and have the strength to be still and have the grace to wait on the Lord and renew our strength. And that's spiritual strength. And God wants us to build it strong so that when troubles come, well, your heart is fortified. And you are able also to give a word of strength, prayer to the people around us. Could be our own family members. Right? If we have not overcome ourselves, if we ourselves are fretful, are fretting during the time of our trial, how can we say to someone who is going through trial, have faith, have faith? We can't. First, we have to learn that lesson ourselves Right? We have to exercise faith, and we have to see the faithfulness of God when we exercise our faith. Right? We see the glory of God fulfilling His will before us. And so, the psalmist tells us, "But my eyes are unto Thee, O Lord, O God, the Lord, in Thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." And so his eyes is focused. Right? Our eyes are turned upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gaze, our stare, our spiritual demeanor, right, is Godward. And that gives us the strength to not fall and doubt, right, by the perhaps severe environment that is around us. Just like Peter, when he saw the boisterous waves around him, right, he began to sing. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord stretched out his arm, right, and said to him, "O ye of little faith." It's true, isn't it? When we look at the storm, right, we tend to lose heart. As the storm rages, right, there is a frightening prospect of that view. But when we look to the Lord, right, there is a calmness, there is a strength, there is a power that God would impart to us that is so real, that we would see it. And strength comes to our soul. And so, not only must we not lose hope, the psalmist pray that he will be kept from the enemies trapped. Verse 9 to 10. "Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the genes of the workers of iniquity." His prayer is that God, who is omniscient, will help him to ward off danger. We don't know. Our senses are limited, right, by our physical limitation. But our Lord is not limited like we are. He does not suffer such limitation. And so we are able, right, to, as we look to Him, call upon Him, to rely upon His wisdom, to rely upon His sight, right, to guide us, to show us the way. And so you see here that we can be protected, and we are protected. And the Lord tells us, right, that indeed, we are safe when we have the Lord with us. And therefore he prayed, "Lord, keep me from the snares of they which have laid for me the genes of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while that I wither escape." Indeed, when Haman wanted to build the gallows for Mordecai, at the end, he ended up going to the gallows for the gallows that he built for Mordecai. And so you see here how God protects His own. And the Lord tells us that we are to keep faith, not only that, but also to keep praying. I ask God to protect us from any spiritual danger, any physical danger that can come our way. We cannot see, but God is able to see it. And so, when we have the Lord with us, we have indeed a sure protection. And so it is indeed blessed for the Christian who has the Almighty God as his protector. Often we are at our wits' end, but with him, our infinite counsel, wisdom, comfort, and hope. The God who delivered David will be our deliverer too. May we take comfort and be strengthened in our hearts to trust in him. May the Lord grant to us his grace to walk with him, to follow him, to trust him through every stormy way. What will be the year 2019, we don't know. But how the Lord has protected us in the year 2018, he will continue to do so in 2019. And so we are able to walk with him step by step, daily relying upon him. And there shall not be any misses. Thank God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for the encouragement out of thy word and the wisdom out of thy word concerning how we can order our lives well, how we can walk this straight and narrow path, how we are able to endure trials, suffering, difficulties, distresses, and yet find victory, find strength to overcome. Lord, we praise and thank thee for keeping us through the year of grace 2018. And we want to renew our faith that indeed you would see us through also in the year 2019. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves into thy hand as we enter into the new year. May thou guide us according to thy mercy and thy grace. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.